Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. I was thinking this morning, Lynn was having a devotional about how that relates to the message on fathers. Today's Father's Day. He said that there's very few people that went into captivity came out of captivity. They would have went in very young. They would have went out very old if that was the case. So we have a lifetime of a child paying for the behavior of their parents. And that really struck me. I mean, not just a fourth of a lifetime, not a half of a lifetime, not three quarters of a lifetime. But there was people there that basically paid an entire lifetime because of the behavior of the parent. We have children paying because the parents didn't have a moral compass. And that's titled my sermon this morning, Reading Dad's Moral Compass. A compass is a device for determining direction by means of a magnetic needle turning freely on a pivot and pointing to the magnetic north. You have a compass here, you lay it out, and you can find out where north is. I assume north is this direction. In Ohio, our church was situated in such a way that I don't know that we ever decided which way was north in the relation to which way the church was sitting. You know, we talk about, well, north, no, it's not, it's this way, you know, no, it's this way, and whatever. I don't know anybody ever brought a compass to church to find out which way north was, but it was always kind of a debatable issue which way was north in relation to the church. But compass. We use a compass. Magnetic north establishes the compass. I mean, and it, you hold the compass out, and unless there's a strong magnetic field that messes it up, it will tell you which way north is. And when I was middle-aged, teenager, whatever, middle teens, in order to prepare to go hunting in strange territory, you learn to read a compass. Because if you didn't know, you couldn't read a compass and you got lost in the woods, you'd just go around in circles. And we're talking about moral compass this morning. You know, we all have a moral compass. All right? So the question is, as dads, is our moral compass pointing true north? Because our children are reading our compass. Our children are reading our compass. Now, true north, so to speak, is here. This is the truth. It's a moral compass. It is right. The question this morning is, does my moral compass point, as a dad, does my moral compass point true north? And what are the indicators that my moral compass is pointing true north? Now, last time I preached, I said this wasn't going to be a long sermon, and it ended up being a long one. This one appears to be short, so I have no idea how long it's going to take. So I'm not going to commit myself this morning. And by the way, I wasn't even done when I did quit. Turn to Proverbs 20. Question is, what are the indicators that my compass as a dad is pointing true north? Proverbs 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. First one I have this morning is integrity. Do I walk in integrity? Integrity is doing what's right, then doing it all the time. That's integrity. I looked up the word integrity, and it referred to 2 Kings, and this is an interesting concept. 2 Kings 22, and this has to do with the death of Ahab. 2 Kings 22, verse 22. Obviously that ain't right. Let's try 1 Kings 22. There you go. 1 Kings 22, 34. Has the idea, there was a battle going on, and Ahab was in that battle. He dressed up someone else up as king, try to protect his hide. In the middle of that battle, it says, verse 34, and a certain man drew a bow at venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Drawing a bow at venture. Somewhere in that battle, there was a man who had a bow and he had an arrow, and he got it out and he put his bow and his arrow and he just went like this into the sky blue yonder. And that arrow hit Ahab. That man was not aiming at anything. He was innocent. Simple move. Innocent move. That's integrity. You know, a lot of things in our lives get complicated. And sometimes we can get derailed. But you get down to the simple question. Can I retain my simplicity? Will I be innocent when this is over? Is it right or is it wrong? You know, integrity either proves us innocent or it proves us guilty. Yeah, it proves us innocent or it proves us guilty. It will simplify our life or it will complicate our life. You know, we can't fudge the bounds of right and still be innocent. We can't do that. We will be guilty, right? So integrity means staying within the bounds of right. Very simple. I mean, it can be very profound in big things, you know, whether I'm going to cheat on my income tax or not, all right? You know, I don't believe in giving the government stuff that they don't deserve, all right? However, I believe if there's doubt on the numbers, all right, you fudge on the safe side. Okay? Integrity could mean very simple things like going to the store that has a tapered parking lot. Am I going to leave my cart sit and the wind blow it and go down and bang into somebody's car? Or am I taking my grocery cart and put it in a corral? That's a matter of integrity. Very simple, very small. If the advertisement says one per household, do I keep it one per household? Or do I push the limit and try to finagle three per household? Do I live in such a way that my integrity puts everybody at an advantage? You know, we should live in such a way that if possible, everybody wins. All right? If I'm driving a business deal where everybody does not win, I do not have integrity. I don't. If I got to finagle down to the absolute bottom dollar to where I'm pinching the other guy to the point where he can hardly make any money, that lacks integrity. And we use terms like Jewing them down, and I don't know why it has anything to do with Jews, because it's a common problem with everybody. Why don't we say America them down? Or is everybody getting a fair shake? Everybody getting a fair shake? If they're not, then I don't have integrity. My moral compass is not straight. Does my life reflect quality? You know, we can live a life of quality, or we can live a life of sloppiness. A sloppy lifestyle. Sloppy lifestyle. And I think that that can even be reflected in our spiritual life too. You know, everything kind of comes in a package, and I don't like to put everything in a box here necessarily. But if we have a sloppy perspective on life in general, we will probably have a sloppy perspective in life in relation to God. Does my life reflect quality? Does what I do reflect quality? What I am reflect quality? Does my decisions reflect quality? Or do they reflect sloppy thinking, sloppy behavior, sloppy decisions? and sloppy relationships. See, our children read our moral compass. Do we have integrity? The second one I have, I will give you a clue, I only have four, so I could have went about 8 or 10, but I knew what my weakness was, and I figured you'd never get out of here. So I decided we'll just stay with 4 and keep it simple. Honor. How does my moral compass reflect honor? Honor is high respect or esteem shown to or received from another person or a demonstration of such respect. Do I go through life with respect? Do I respect? Am I a respect? You hear the term. Well, that young lady is a respectful young lady. Or that young man is a respectful young man. And I tell you, young people, a compliment like that, you don't get it much better than that. I mean, if somebody's observing you as a young Christian, and they say, that young person is a respectful young person. Tell you what, that's saying volumes with just a few words. Because respect is so broad. It covers so much of an area. This word respect in the Old Testament is translated beauty, majesty, brilliancy. You want to be brilliant? Brilliancy, preciousness, weight, and glory. Respect, honor. Do I honor? Of course, our basis for all honor is learning to honor God. Do we as dads honor God? Do we honor God? Do we hold Him, view Him with beauty, majesty, brilliancy, preciousness? Is my God meaningful to me? Like I say, honor is so broad. Our children read our honor. Do I honor the church? Do I honor the church's leaders? Do I honor the church's members? Dad, do you honor? Or do us, our children know everything that's wrong about everybody? Do I view my fellow church member with preciousness, with beauty? What God has allowed them to be in my life. You know, we can choose. We can choose. We can choose to decide what all the negative parts of everybody are. We can choose to decide what all the positive parts are. That's choice. Simple choice. Do we honor our parents? Do we honor old people? You know what? We're not going to get that off our culture. They're not going to feed that into our brain. Because they don't. They just simply don't. In America, old people, they're out of touch. And granted, maybe we are in some things. Maybe we don't know how to program a computer. Maybe we don't know how to run all the latest gadgets. But folks, there's more to life than all that. If we know all that and we don't have a moral compass, folks, we're out of touch. Yeah. So, do we honor our wives? Do we honor our children? Are our children in the way? Do they feel like they're a nuisance? Do they feel like they're in the way? Do they feel like they were born to make Dad happy? Do we honor our government leaders, our law officers? Proverbs 3:16. You know, sometimes Proverbs 3, verse 16. Sometimes we're concerned about whether we are honored. All right? Pilgrim Church, this one brother, he always jokingly said, "I don't get no respect. I don't get no respect," you know, and whatever. And it was always kind of a funny thing. But do we honor? This is talking about wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof in fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and the things thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. You know, I believe to pursue honor is a waste of time. Total waste of time. Honor is a byproduct. It's what you get, not what you earn. And so, yes, we do honor, but it's not primarily an individual thing. It's primarily others-oriented. And if and when honor becomes ours, it is a gift of God. It is a byproduct of wisdom that God has allowed us to practice, which comes back in honor. Number three, charity. How does my moral compass point when it comes to charity? 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity suffereth long. Oh. And is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. I'll read that in the NIV. Charity, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Is my life as a dad, a life of loving others. Do I truly love others? Do I truly love myself? You know, it's not what we say that really makes a difference. It's who we are and what we do. And so if I have a life of truly loving others, then I will have a life of truly serving others. In other words, my love or my charity will not just end with my personal perspective, but it will flesh itself out in acts of charity. So then the question comes, what are my acts of charity toward others? Do my children read my moral compass that I believe that it is morally right that others come before me? That it is morally right that I give myself to other people? That it's morally right that I am a generous person? I would rather, honestly, truly rather, that the other person would have the benefit of the doubt, would have the benefit . Or do I always make sure my hide's covered? Someone has said, blessed are those who can give without remembering and receive without forgetting. I thought that's pretty good. Blessed are those who can give without remembering and receive without forgetting. Someone else said, where there is no interest, there is no investment. I like that play on words. Where there's no interest, there's no investment. That has to do with money. That has to do with our lives. I will invest in what I am interested in. Someone else said, the hardest thing to give is in. The hardest thing to give is in. So am I giving? Yes. But that includes giving in. Not just giving out, it's giving in. Yeah, love gives in. That's part of the equation. Can Dad give in? Now, I'll tell you, if Dad's always giving in, there's something wrong. Because he's called to be the leader of the family. But if Dad never gives in, then there's something wrong, too. Number four is kindness. Do I have a kind disposition? Do I have a kind disposition? Am I doing favors for those around me? You know, there's one thing it always challenges me is, someone said once, however you are during your life, that's, you'll get worse at it when you get old. All right? So, I mean, if you're cranky and hard to get along, you know, what do you, I'm telling you what, it's going to get rough. Multiplies itself when you get old. But it seemed like people that are kind and considerate, you know, it seemed like as they get old, it just gets more and more that way. And so if we want something to look forward to in our older age, we should practice kindness now. Now, that's kind of a selfish motivation. I understand that. But, and maybe it would be to the people around us as an advantage more than it would be to us. But I don't think anybody wants to grow old and miserable. And I don't think anybody wants to take care of somebody that's old and miserable. But, see, kindness has to do with our affection. Our affection. I read somewhere one time that if you want to know how long somebody's been married, just see how often the husband and wife look each other in the eyes. Oh, newlyweds, they're always looking each other in the eyes, all right? I mean, there's plenty of affection there, right? There's no question. Do I retain that affection? Do I retain that affection? Most of all, can I look God in the eye? You know, I read this poem one time, and I can't recall it, whatever, but something about, you know, you got a major problem. You get up in the morning, you can't look at the man in the mirror in the eye. You got a major problem. Something to do with the man in the mirror. And people can't look themselves in the eye. They're too crooked. But the most important thing is, can I get up in the morning and I look God in the eye? Do I have affection for God? Is that relationship clear? So we can look each other in the eye. If you want to find somebody that got that down to a fine art, just go between the United States and Canada. They read your eyes. What are you going to Canada for? You look at me, I'm going fishing. Oh, yeah? Where are you going fishing? Lake. You know, you think you're going to get across the border real easy? They'll probably be dragging you right in there, and I mean tearing your car apart. You can't look them in the eye. I don't know about you, but I think kindness requires thinking and it takes patience. Now, I'm just talking for myself. It takes thinking. Kindness requires us to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes. What would I feel like if I was told that? What would I feel like if I was treated that way? What would I feel like? So it requires us to think. Just don't go barging through life saying everything comes to your mind and elbowing everybody out of the way. You got to stop. You got to think. And it takes patience. See, I know that because it takes a lot of patience for people around me to treat me kindly because of my behavior sometimes. So that's kind of the rule of thumb. We all take patience. Don't we? We've got to think. We have to have patience with others. And then kindness will flesh itself out in service to others. What are we serving? Who are we serving? How are we serving? In what ways are we serving? See, that determines our moral compass. That's amazing. It's amazing to me that God's people we have this It's a challenge to me as a dad that we can have this, and that's what it's pointing to. But if our lives do not point to the moral compass right here, it's unlikely, it's less likely that our children will be convinced that that is the way to go. Now, I know children have their own choices to make. I understand that clearly. But I tell you what, a dad without a moral compass certainly puts a child at a tremendous disadvantage. So with God's word, with commitment as a father and a dad, we do our children, the coming generation, tremendous favors when they see and read our moral compass, and that compass is pointing true.